This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting muslimcentral.com/donate.
Do you blame October the 7th?
No, I don't blame them. Because I told you before, we are suffering from them all our lives.
Did your family and did your neighbors think that the West was going to come and help you? Was there a knight in shining armor called the United Nations?
He hugged me at the dream, telling me, I'm good, I'm alive. I told him that, no, you are dead. I saw you in the video where you are killed.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm in Doha right now. I'm here because I wanted to meet to listen to survivors of the Holocaust being inflicted upon the people of Palestine and the genocide upon the people of Gaza right now. And so I'm meeting sisters who are survivors, and let's have a look at their stories, because the sister I'm meeting today is a prime example. They can't give their names. They don't feel comfortable sharing, and yet they're being brave enough to share. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm going to call you Mariam, but your name's not Mariam. And I'm going to say that you look like you're in a niqab, but you don't normally wear niqab.
Yeah. Because we have, we still have that fear from this war and from those criminals, people who attacked us everywhere. Even if we are in Doha, we still afraid about our relatives in Gaza and Palestine. We suffer a lot, and so we still have this fear of this experience.
Sister, it's important that we look at the lives of our brothers and sisters in Gaza as more than a scroll experience. It's a very weird time, isn't it, to be watching a genocide unfurl before our eyes?
Yeah. We are human beings. We have stories. We are like other human beings on the world. We have stories. Each one in Gaza have his own story. They are not just photo and numbers, and you just scroll beyond these pictures. They are not just pictures. They are human beings. Each one have a family. Each one have kids. Each one of Palestinian people have emotions, and they are feel, they are suffer, they are in sad mood all the time. This war was very, very, very harsh one on each one, in each Palestinian. I want to talk about you named me as a survivor, but I am a survivor just in flesh, in my body, without soul, without health, without a real human being. I'm now feel that I am very, very, very sad, and I can't continue my life, but we should continue. We should continue and struggle to be alive. I was a wife to a real husband, a perfect one, a great father for his kids. We were in deep love since the childhood, and then we are married at the age of university, and we studied and worked together. We built our life. We have children. We love life. We love our children. He loved his children more than himself. He loved me more than himself. We love each other.
What? How did you know each other? What age did you meet?
We are cousins, living at the same building. He was my husband was one of my relatives. This war prevent me from my husband. They killed him in this war. Okay, I have that beautiful family with my kids and him and a beautiful house. We struggled to build this house. Our money, we put all our money on building this house to make a good future to our kids. So that was my life before the war. A wife with her husband, with her kids, strong one, working and getting money to build her future and to be happy with her children and her husband. We have entertainment. We go to the sea with each other. We look after our children very carefully. We raise them in a very careful way. Okay, but in this war, at the sixth day of this war, they attacked us. We are civilians. We didn't do anything to them. We are a civilian family who live and work, living normal life. We didn't do anything to them just because we are Palestinians or Gazan citizens. So you are our target. Okay, they attacked the house of our neighbor.
Tell us about the days leading up to the attack. What was it like on October the 7th? What was the atmosphere in Gaza?
We wake up at the October the 7th. We wake up at the voices of muscles and bombing around us. We didn't know what is the situation is. We do not know anything. We are at home, sleeping, want to wake up to go to school. I want to go to school to deliver my children to their school. We are sleeping safe at our home. We didn't do anything. We are, as others, waked up, founding muscles, bombing, something dangerous. We realized that there is something dangerous happening, but we didn't know why. What is it? Is it attacked from another attack from Israeli? That we don't know why. What is it? What's this situation is? We feel very, very, very frightened from this situation. My kids was screaming. I was very nervous. What's this? What we can do? Where to go? Still in our home or where to go? That was the situation. And then they cut electricity at the first day.
On the first day?
There is no electricity. So we have a lot of bad connection of the internet. They hit the ground, so the streets were damaged at the first days, so you can't move to another place. At the sixth days, after 6 days of stress and fear, they attack our neighbor's home or our neighbor house. This muscle, in this attack, they destroyed all the neighborhood. So our house destroyed. I got injured at that moment.
What do you remember about the moments of a missile? Can you hear it from the sky? Does it cut?
No, I feel that there is a very big explosion. And I saw some fire, a little fire around me. Then I got in coma. It was a very, very, very frightened moment. Up to now, I can't forget that moment, the big explosion. And then saw the fire and stones, a little fire and stones around you. And then I got in coma.
What about the rest of your family? How are you sitting?
We are in the same place around us. All of us got under the rubble. Yeah, our house damaged, all of our house damaged because of the attack on our neighborhood. My kids wounded at that time.
How many children did
I have? 4 children. The fourth,
what ages?
The first one is 11 years old. The second is 10 years old. The third is 40 years old. And the youngest one is, at that time, she was 6 months. Now she is a year. At that moment, this one, the little baby, is thrown from the hands of her father, far from us, 6 meters. Yeah, and she is hit the wall. And some blood on her face. That moment, up to now we can't forget it. It's very shocking moment. I was in coma. I waked up at the screaming of all my family, crying, screaming for help. Please help, ambulance, please help us. We are under the rubble, please. All of my family screaming and crying, kids, sisters, father, husband, all of us screaming. But I am in some unconscious, didn't realize what happened because I got a very serious injury. Because there is no connection to call the ambulance. They cut the connection. So you, to get the signal, you have to try more than one time. My husband, after a time, told me that I called the ambulance for the first, second, third, fourth. There is no response because there is no signal. Mm. After a while, the ambulance came. Evacuated me alone and took me to the hospital. My kids went to another hospital. My kids went to another hospital. My family, they got them to another hospital. So we are separated. When I wake up, I asking where are my kids, where are my husband, where are my father, and get in a coma for another time. It is repeated for more than one time through the way to the Ashifa hospital. When I arrived at Ashifa hospital, I waked up at screaming of women, screaming of children, screaming of wounded people.
Right, yeah.
All of them screaming, oh, all my family gone. Yeah, I am destroyed now, and I have this feeling of fear. But these voices and this crowded people, who all many of them covered with blood, they are from different places from Gaza Strip. You don't know them, but I'm crying about them because they're screaming. Still in my mind up to now, one of them is still screaming, oh, my kids, Lulu, she is 3 years old, just 3 years old. She asking her father, is it dead? Really? Is it dead? Why did kill this Lulu? Why? Type. And another, I remember that another man came screaming, all my family gone, my wife gone, are you serious? Is it really that my kids did, my son's kid, my daughter's kid, all of them kids, these, all the voices around the hospital. So I came to hospital to be recovered. No, this was very damaging to me. And I don't want, when I open my eyes, I see so blood around me, cutted people without some parts of their body. So I got for another time from this stress in a coma, and waiting for time because there is no enough doctors there. In the emergency, it's very, very terrible. We don't have in Palestine many members to heal or to check every patient. to give his right of taking care or treatment. Okay, after some minutes, when I was in the coma, they took me to the ICU. And after waking up from the ICU, I found that my husband came to the hospital. He was crying on me, frightening that he was afraid that he lost me or I am died. I still remember that he was shocked of my injury, and he was afraid of me because I am in dangerous situation. He is a man, he doesn't cry. But in this difficult situation, look at him. And I have a little voice, and I told him that I'm good. How are my kids? How are you? All of his clothes were covered with blood from me.
What were your injuries?
I had fractures in my spine in the 11th and second
vertebrae,
and I have both shoulders. It was broken, and the vertebra,
this clavicle,
the right clavicle, also broken. And I have some injury here in this in my body. I can't at that time. I can't move. I can't walk. I can't raise my neck or head. I can't move them, nor left nor right. I was on the bed without, can't move anything of my body. Just talking with little voice because I can't breathe at that time. Yeah. Because of the pressure at the hospital, and the huge number of injured and dead people at that time, they didn't check me well. And they just said the fractions in your shoulders will be good after 2 months. So she is stable now. We manage her blood and her pressure. She is stable, better than the others who are bleeding, who are in continuous coma. So took her to home. How can I go home? I can't walk. There is no one to carry me. So my husband called his friend from the hospital asking for ambulance. So they took me after 2 days. Without taking any treatment, just a little medicine, which doesn't make anything to my pain.
Tell us about the pain. I mean, it must have been...
It's immense. Very, very... I can't describe this pain. You feel that you will die after this moment. You can't handle, I can't cough. I want to laugh or cough or speak. I can't because of the fractions of my shoulders. I can't move. I can't move myself just a little because of my back. The pain of my back, it is still up to now. But not the same as the first moment when I injured. So he took me to home, to another home, because our home is bombed. To my sister home. He took me to my sister home with all my kids. They were shocked. My little kids, who is 4 years old, shocked, doesn't speak for 2 days. My little baby crying all the day for 4 days.
What do you think it was, pain?
She is throwing.
Yeah.
She is throwing. Far away from her father, five meters, maybe because of this fall.
Broken.
They giving her some Doclofen to some diclofen to be quiet a little bit. She was crying. My sister holding her, taking care of her, because I can't do anything to myself. My sister feed me. My sister, my sisters carry me to go to the bathroom for 3 months.
Subhanallah.
3 months of suffering. Can't walk, can't carry anything with my hands, and at home. Not just me, a lot of people, injured people, at home, just take the first treatment and go home because there is no enough place nor bed at hospital. It was disasters. Lot of people injured, lot of people killed, lot of people missed their kids and try to find them because we are separated. The people come to help you. Take one, put this in this ambulance, this and this, and each one go to another hospital.
So what, I've always wondered what is the conversation like in the families at this time about, you're considering it a war at the time. You know, what are people, are you watching TV? Are people having, this is going to happen? Is there political talk or is it just panic? What's it like in the?
We are in panic. We are in panic all time. Does it will repeat it again? Will they bomb us again? Where to go? What's the solution? What we can do? We can't do anything. Regardless mentioning that there is no electricity, there is no enough food, there is no enough water, there is no enough comfortable zone to yourself to be alone or to take care of your children or to sleep. We are crowded, all families crowded at one place because there is no places left to us to be. They bombed all or most of the houses. Not just me, all the families suffer from this thing.
I wonder, did you think that after 3 months, first of all, how was it? How did you begin walking again? And then did your family and did your neighbors think that the West was going to come and help you? Was there a knight in shining armor called the United Nations? Were you thinking this is going to end soon? It must.
Yeah. We think that the world will move for us. We are innocent. They will watch our suffering. They will move. Each day, we have the hope to end this war. They want to steal our land, steal our homes. This is our land. They came from the Western and live in this land. So they want to kill all of us, to steal our land. Gaza was beautiful.
What was your favorite place? What has always been your favorite place in Gaza?
Special place in Gaza were sitting in front of the sea. It's the most beautiful place in Gaza. Sitting in front of the sea or Al Rashid Street. It was very, very beautiful. Now they destroyed all this street, all the places where we was sitting on the sea. They destroyed all the beautiful places, all the houses. It's not Gaza. You don't. Maybe some people doesn't know Gaza. They think that she is a destroyed place, not beautiful. No, it's the most beautiful place in the world. I love Gaza, and when it will be rebuilt, I will back to Gaza. They think that we will go and went back to Gaza. No. I just came to Qatar to take a treatment, not to leave Gaza to them. We won't leave Gaza to them. It's their dream. But we are strong and will live in Gaza again and rebuild it again. Inshallah.
When you... I've often spoken to Palestinians about there's something about the land. There's something. Is there a spirituality? Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have this connection to this land. It's beautiful. It's mentioned in the Holy Quran. It's a holy place. We have a lot of goodness in it. Their people are kind, beautiful, generous, love to see people from around the world. They are they will come, all the people to come and visit again. All the people who visited Palestine and Gaza come again and again because of the goodness of Palestinians people. Okay, if I want to come back to my story, also we have this experience again. They are attacked us, attacked our neighbors again, and the rebels, the smoke, this bad experience, the smell of the, up to now, I can't forget the smell of this smoke from the muscles. You can't breathe. All the children cough. So we evacuated from our aunt at that night. At the middle of the night, we evacuated to the street. We slept at the street at that night. And hearing all the airstrikes, the shells of the tanks around us, it was a very, very terrifying night.
Are you praying then? Are you
all the time praying, God to save us? Please, God, save us. Please save us. Protect us from these criminals all the night. Up to the when the at the day. When at the morning of that night, we went back to our aunt's house. It was damaged, but we can live in it. So we cleaned, my family cleaned that house and get back to it because there is no another place to live. This Zionist army doesn't differentiate between kids, women's, innocent people. The shells of the tanks didn't stop for a moment. For a moment. From the 10 p.m., from the 10 p.m. up to the 6 p.m., all the time, boom, boom, boom. And we didn't sleep at that night. Oh, we holding each other. All the children crying, nervous, stress, panic. We made a decision. You should move. We should move. We should have. We should move from this place. You say I won't move. I won't. But they still attack around you, around you. So you be forced to displaced to another place. We are displaced from Gaza by force. Not by volunteer or by ourselves or our nature.
When we're watching these atrocities, we're like, how can human beings do this? How is it possible to go home and feed your baby and then off to work the next day and hurt somebody else's baby?
Yeah, I don't know how they have these hearts, harsh hearts, to harm people and killing them. And to live your life with this criminal with you all the time. I don't know how they live, how they committed these crimes and go on in their lives and laugh and taking shots and videos on TikTok, laughing at our sufferings and our blood. We are in Palestine, care about others, have responsibility about others and our actions. We in Islam, itself prevent you to harm any animal.
Do you blame October the 7th?
No, I don't blame them. Because you are, I told you before, we are suffering from them all our lives. They prevent us to travel. If we want to travel to another place from Gaza, there are some procedures you have to take there.
The Zionists prevent you.
Yeah, approval from them to travel. It's our simple right to travel from Gaza and have work. Okay, they prevent some a lot of things from us in Gaza. We in Gaza live in a prison. So you are living in prison, suffering a lot of your life, each 4 years you have a war from them. They start the war. Each 4 years they started a war. From my childhood to being an adult people, and I suffer and see a lot of blood and kill innocent people around me. So you have this hate for this criminal army. So it's a self-defense. It's a reply for their actions.
Many people have described that moment of coming through Rafah crossing. Even as a visitor myself, I remember leaving and thinking, I want to go back. It's very difficult to leave just as a visitor, but when it's your special place, when it's your heart, when it is the lungs of your body,
yeah,
every grain of sand has one of your names on it. Every wave on the beach praises Allah.
Yeah.
You know every date tree and every part
of it. Yeah, it's our place from our heart. We love it from our heart. And we don't like any others to come and destroy it. We have the right to defend ourselves.
How long ago did you were you evacuated?
I evacuated since December.
December. Did you were you taken by ambulance through
yeah,
where
yeah.
Were you in Rafah already
yeah.
there?
I moved from the middle to the south. We live in the south on Rafah.
Right.
Me and my husband and my father and my kids.
Yeah.
So I travel.
On your own?
No, I traveled to Egypt by ambulance. They took me by ambulance, me, and I took my 4 kids and my sisters. They prevent my husband to come with me.
Who prevented?
The clearance or the approval from the Zionist or Jewish people. Before you travel to Egypt or have the name in the checklist of the injury people, to have this name, you have to take approval from them.
See, this is what occupation means. Yeah, this is what occupation means.
They prevent you from traveling. They put these procedures to prevent anyone to live. They prevent any injury man to travel outside of Gaza. Up to now, each male whose age under above 18 and under 60, this age is prevented up to now to go outside Gaza and get a treatment.
I don't understand how health officials.
I don't know where
they allow this. Where is the equality in treatment?
I don't know where their rule.
What's the rule?
Absence. They are absent. Don't care about us. There is a lot of youth and male people are injured in Gaza. Up to now, still in Gaza, didn't take their treatment, didn't make any surgery because there is no supplies and no equipment to make this surgery. The occupation is still preventing them to travel outside Gaza.
You got to Qatar with your 4 children and you're in a compound, you're getting treatment, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
When did you last speak to your husband?
At Ramadan. Before a month from now, I was having a dinner with my family and my sisters. After the dinner, I took my phone, checking the news. I saw a message. I saw a message from his sister, who is in the north, still in the north. His sister and family didn't see him since 6th month. My husband was in Rafah and his family was in the north, from the people who stand in the north and didn't evacuate. His mom and father and sister and brother. So I got a message from his sister telling me he is dead. reading this, I read this message. I shocked. What she's saying? How's he killed? I don't believe this message. She is, I think she is, it's a lie. I think it's a lie. This is not true. I don't believe this. Maybe she is in the north and hear wrong news. She doesn't know. No. It's, I don't believe this. I don't believe he is dead. So I call my family. I call my family, my dad, asking, checking, is he dead real? Is it real? My husband did. How he did? What he did? How they kill him? What he did? Screaming. My father told me, yes, he was on the road going to the mosque. And they bombed a group of people, and he one of the people. Four children killed, and one is 70 years old, and my husband. Seven. Four kids, my husband and another man. He was walking to the mosque. So, and killed at the moment, at the, and he was dead in the street. He was dead in the street. I got in the coma. I did in the coma, unconscious. It's a very, very sad moment. I can't forget this moment. To lose your husband, to lose your love, to lose the father of your kids. I was screaming, my husband, my love, my soul, all my kids around me. Crying upon their father. We thought that we are in Qatar, we are safe, we will live until the world ends, and we will back to Gaza to be together, me and my husband. And I seek to travel him from Gaza to Egypt, but the Egyptians prevent him to travel, so he still in Gaza. This dream to continue your life with your husband and kids, to live a comfortable, safe life, just to live with your husband, no matter what, you don't have your house, your job, your money, but just to live you and your husband, beloved one, the most generous and great father for his kids. To live without him is very painful. I feel very sad upon killing him. I hate all the world. I hate all the world. I hate all this life, because it prevented me from my soul. Who is my husband. They prevent me to witness the moment he will die and put him on the grave. So up to now, I don't believe that I lost him. Up to now, I still reading his message to me. When I was in Qatar, each day I call him by video. Me and my kids. My little kids, who is 1 year old, she used to call her father. So after his death, each day she bring the phone and told me, dad, Baba, call him. What can I answer to her? I show her her picture, his picture, but she insists on to call. She knows that this is a picture. This is not her father. Maybe the war will end. But our suffer, me and a lot of women here and in Gaza who lost their belongings, who lost their sons, who lost their husband, who lost their dads and mom, will stay suffer. We can't forget them. We will suffer at the end of our lives. How we can recover? How we can bring them back? We can't.
Some brothers and sisters have had dreams about people who've passed in Gaza.
Yeah, I had that dreams. I cry all the night upon him and missed him. So he came to me at the dream. I was very happy to see him again. And he hugged me at the dream, telling me, I'm good. I'm alive. I told him that, no, you are dead. I saw you in the video where you are killed. And I saw the blood on you and have injury in your neck and your legs from this airstrike. He told me, no, no, I'm good. I'm alive now. I am in a safe place now. Be happy. I am alive. I said, no, I am in a dream. I don't believe that. He insisted that I am alive. I am good. And I feel relaxed after this dream. And I feel relaxed in this dream. But when I wake up, I shocked. Because I will live again without him. And I shocked. It was a dream. Now, I don't feel any, I don't feel happy. I don't smile. I cry all the time. I try to be strong in front of my kids. I told my kids that your father is a victim for this war and he is alive in Al-Jannah, in paradise. He is in a better place, better than us. He is now safe and happy with God. To make them good and to let them live their lives.
There's a lot of, first of all, I just think that's such a beautiful dream. I just, alhamdulillah, there's truth in these dreams, you know, visions.
Yeah, he said the truth, that they are their souls are alive in God and they feel of us. Maybe they feel of us. I feel that there is some connection between us because we are in deep love or life. We didn't have any problems. He was the best husband to me. If I will live all my life, I won't find anyone like his manners.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah bring you together again.
Inshallah, in Jannah. I wait for him to meet him in Jannah.
Ameen. May Allah give you strength. I just want to have one last consideration, and that is that in your whole life as a Palestinian in Gaza, the world has been silent about the suffering of the Palestinian people.
Yeah, all the time.
And now we see young people in universities in the US being brave.
We are happy, very, very happy to hear that. Mm. And we witness and follow up their news and we are encouraging them to continue because their actions are heard. We in Palestine, very proud of them. They are brave in that universities in the Western and they can make effort and they can make impact on their government to stop this war. We are happy of their actions and encouraging them to continue.
Thank you so much for bravely sharing your pain and your story. And everybody, you know, we're going to be making so much dua for you.
Yeah.
Ya Allah, may He give you full shifa, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Your children ease and your heart ease and give you strength in the future, inshallah. And end this terrible situation.